Hey, Open Arms, it's so good to be with you today and so good to have you with us. And if you're watching for the very first time, I want to give you a massive welcome. It's great to have you. My name is Sean Booth and the pastor here, and we're celebrating because last 11 a.m. we were able to be on RTE1 for the Sunday service, reaching thousands and thousands of people, and we got incredible feedback. Thank you for sharing the message and sharing the word. And also, it's still there on the RTE player, so you can just go on there and search the Sunday service, 11th of October. So please continue to spread the word and share it with friends and family. And tonight, we have got our roundtable podcast, and we got some really special guests who you will know and love. And we're going to be talking about fear and how we have a fascination with fear, celebrating fear, but also how do we deal with fear in our lives, especially during this time. So it's going to be 8 o'clock tonight on Facebook and on YouTube. And thank you to all of you who have spent this past week praying and fasting. I really feel and believe that God is going to do something new within us. I know that everyone talks about the new normal. They're sick to death hearing about the new normal. But I believe God wants to do something new in us and through us. That he's going to break some things away and he's going to build some new things in us within our own lives, our homes, our families. And I think in these next number of months, it might even take a number of years, we're going to be surprised with what God does in this season and through this season. But today is week 6 of our series, Good News. 6 weeks and we're still in chapter 1. Would you believe? In Colossians. But I really feel strongly today that this is a word that it's going to help shape your theology, your faith, and really stir something within you that can bring change to your life and to your mind and transformation to your life. So if you're with me and you're on board, why don't you put it in the comment section, say amen, or give the praise hand emojis or the clap emoji or any emoji that you want to choose. And if you're watching on Facebook, why don't you right now choose to pick and select that share button and get this good news out and share it with your world to share hope with someone today. But please turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. We've been in this chapter and in this book now for a number of weeks, and Colossians is a letter, a New Testament letter written by the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to the church in Colossae. It is a new Christian community in a town that does not know Jesus, and really Paul is writing to these people to shape their biblical values, to shape their faith, and to shape their theology centered around Jesus. And so we're going to be reading in verse 9 right down through verse 14. It says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience." Last week I spoke on the title, the strength to stick it out, to never give up, and to live life to the full with Jesus by having fullness of knowledge and fullness of power, which will produce an endurance and a patience. So today we're focusing on verses 12 through 14. It says this, "And giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." I love that scripture. And here's the title of a message today. It's time to pick sides. It's time to pick sides. The Lord your God has rescued you, delivered you from the dominion of darkness, and brought you into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Son he loves. And the question for you today is, which side will you choose? Will you choose today, as I find my marker, will you choose darkness and the dominion of darkness and debt, or will you choose light, the kingdom of light of the Son he loves. It's time to pick sides. You know, doesn't it feel like in this last season that we're almost forced to pick sides in every conversation that we have? It's like, for whatever reason, everyone has an opinion and everyone has a side or a leaning towards. And it's almost like we're forced to pick sides. You know, whether are you on the right or are you on the left? Are you a conservative or a liberalist? Are you a capitalist or a socialist? Do you support Man United or Liverpool? Which Man United, hands down, every single time. But really, the one that people get up in arms about recently, and the big one is, do you believe the coronavirus is real or is it fake? It's somehow manufactured and concocted for some conspiracy theory. And that's the other part. You know, are you a conspiracy theorist or are you someone who's a sheep who just follows what you say? Been said to you? Are you a masker or an anti-masker? Do you follow the restrictions or are you against the restrictions? There's so many differing sides and different opinions, and it's like you have to pick a side. You know what's been interesting watching the news recently over these last number of months and see that there's been lots of protests both here in Ireland and abroad throughout the world. But the latest thing is to have counter protests, is literally to have a protest to the protest that's going on. And what you have is you have these images and these videos of so many people clashing together from each side and shouting at the other that you're wrong and we're right. And unfortunately, it causes so many people to choose to defend themselves by attacking the other. I believe that this division, this great polarization of people, only breeds disunity, anger, sometimes bordering on hatred, putting down others for the sake of being right. Now, my message is not to somehow bring peace and harmony to the whole world, bringing everyone together, but this message is for you as a Christian, or at least someone exploring faith or discovering what it means to follow Jesus. This is about you asking this really important question. As we look at the images and the videos of news and online all around us, maybe even as we look inward, we've seen that we've been a part of it. As we look at this, where does division, disunity, anger, and hatred originate from? Who benefits from this? Who revels and enjoys this? Does all of this come from the kingdom of light? Does this come from the Lord? Or does this come from the kingdom of darkness? Does this come from the ruler of the powers of the earth, Satan himself? Where does harmony, love, unity, and peace come from? Does that sound like it comes from darkness? Or does it come from light? Does that come from Satan? Or does that come from the Lord? Now you need to hear me in this. I'm not saying that All differing opinions and all differences and all division come from Satan. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, where do you think this unity and harmony comes from? I believe this unity comes from darkness and it breeds darkness. And I believe harmony and unity and love comes from light and it breeds light. It sounds like Jesus Christ. It sounds like the kingdom of light to me. And guys, here's my message. It's time to pick sides, because it grieves me, and I believe that it grieves the Lord, seeing Christians, both through their tongue and their tongues, spread disparity, division, disunity, and spread darkness and fear. I believe that it grieves the Lord. I believe that he's called us as Christians to bring unity and love and hope and peace. And as we dive into this scripture today and unfold it, I want to ask two questions. Which side will you pick? Which side will you choose to be on? Will you choose to be in darkness or in light? And here's the second question. Which side will you choose to spread? To spread through your tongue and your words and through your tongues, what you say online, how you respond to others. Will you choose to spread darkness or will you choose to spread light? We're going to go deeper into this scripture and we're going to ask the question, what's the difference? What's the difference between darkness and light? So we're going to go deep into a word study. So open with me, verses 12 to 14 in Colossians 1. And we're going to go through this line by line. And so we see in verse 12, we see that Paul writes, "And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you." One translation says this, that God has made you worthy. So what do we see from this? Well, when we are living in the dominion of darkness, we are unqualified. We are unworthy. And we see that God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, transfers us into the kingdom of light. What does this mean for us and our identity? This means that we become qualified. That through him, God makes us worthy. That's what we are to be joyful for. That's what we're given thanks. Thank you, God, that you qualified me, that you made me worthy. Well, worthy for what? He says to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. What's an inheritance? It's something that's coming your way. It's something that you can look forward to into the future. So we see in darkness, this is what darkness, it focuses on our past. And it causes us to be hopeless. But we see that when we enter into the kingdom of light, we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we have a focus not just on our present, but on our future. And this causes us to be hopeful, full of hope for the future, regardless of what we are experiencing here in the present, and definitely not because of the past. And he says this, to share in the inheritance of his holy people. So we see that when we're in the kingdom of darkness, we are unholy. One translation says that we are impure. But when we transferred into the kingdom of light, that through Jesus Christ, God makes us holy. And he calls us to be pure. And so we see in verse 13, it says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness." This means that before he rescued us, we were residents of the kingdom and the dominion of darkness. But when we're transferred into the kingdom of light, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He's rescued us. He says he's brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. When we're in darkness, we are kept out of the kingdom of light. But when we enter into the kingdom of light, we see what happens is this transference, that when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we are brought in to a new kingdom. We are brought into the kingdom of the Son he loves. I hope you can read my writing during this. Verse 14, in whom? In knowing Jesus and placing our faith in him, he says, we have redemption. We have the forgiveness of sins. The word redemption, it means to be saved or to be delivered or to be free. You see, when we're in the kingdom of darkness, we are seen as being sinful. We are seen as being guilty. That's what we're seen as. Sinful and guilty. And most importantly, we are unforgiven. But what happens is when we're transferred into the kingdom of light, we become saved. We become free. Most importantly, we become forgiven. Now, when you stand back from this, and when you look at both sides, when you look at darkness, all it entails, and you look at light, as you ask the question, which side would you pick? I don't know about you, but when I look at light, this is what I choose. I choose to believe that I am qualified. I am worthy. I've got a future that causes me to be hopeful. I am holy and pure through Jesus. I've been rescued from. I've been brought in. I am saved. I am free. And I am forgiven. Now, as we live our lives, even as we become Christians, we live with this constant battle within us. Because this is often how we feel. But this is how we must believe. You see, I can feel unqualified, unworthy, impure. I can feel full of sin. I can feel guilty. But it's continuously coming back to Jesus Christ saying, I believe that I am part of the kingdom of light. If there is any sin in me, Jesus, I come to you and I surrender and I ask that you forgive me. And I choose to believe that I am part of the kingdom of light. And here's the second question. Is what will you choose to spread through your tongue and your thumbs? You see, where there's darkness, there's confusion. Where there is light, there is clarity. You know, in this time, in this season, these last number of months, in this pandemic, people freak out because they can't see. They can't see hope. They can't see freedom. They can't see how God will provide and how God will bring us through. And we as Christians, you live in the light. You do not need to live in confusion. Not only that, but you are people of the light, who has the light in you, and his name is Jesus Christ. And I believe that we should be the ones who spread this light, who say to others, follow me as I follow Jesus. He will lead us through this. He will provide for us. He will bring us through. You know what? There is going to come a day. I hope hope rises inside of you right now. There's going to come a day which will be post-COVID. There'll be before COVID and post-COVID, and we will one day look back and say, wow, wasn't that crazy? You know what? We as Christians must be those people that even in the midst of darkness, we can see the light. We can bring clarity to a place of confusion. You see, in the kingdom of light, we've got two things. We've got perception. We have the ability to see things as they will be according to the word of God. And we have direction to be able to see where we are going as we follow Jesus. For we have Jesus. So we are in light. We have light in us and we have clarity. As Christians, let's be people who bring clarity regardless of what's going on around us and instead of spreading confusion through our words and through our actions. That where there is disrepute and disagreements and disunity, where there might be in the place in which you are in, let's choose to bring clarity into the conversation. Let's choose to bring clarity into our communities. Let's choose to refrain from bringing confusion in any way. You know, maybe there's some things in your social media that you need to delete. Maybe there's some articles that you would often share that you maybe you need to refrain from. Maybe rather than giving that response and that opinion, maybe you got to choose, I'm just going to hold on to that for a moment. Maybe rather than forcing yourself upon others, let's choose to live in light, to be people of light, not residents of darkness. Now, for many of us, if not for all of us, we want to live in light. We want to live this way. We have a desire to live this way. But it can often feel like we live in darkness, and darkness lives in us. And I believe that Paul here, he's reminding the church in Colossae, and he's reminding us. He's reminding us that we have been brought into the kingdom of light. He's reminding us of our history. He's reminding of our testimony that we have light living in us, and we are living in light, and that is Jesus. And in these scriptures, he's not just trying to, you know, inspire them or motivate them, or manipulate them in some way, convincing them to just stir up their faith and believe this. He is theologically explaining to them why we must give thanks, what we've been rescued from, and how we can live as forgiven people in the kingdom of light, living in light and spreading that light to the world around us. So Paul, in these very small three verses, he outlines three key truths that I want to share with you today that I believe that we should know and believe and live out in our lives in order to live in light and light to live in us. So here's the first one. I'd actually rub out this, the darkness. The first key truth that Paul is sharing with us here, us to live by, is this, that you are qualified. You are qualified. And here's the thing. Man does not qualify you, nor do you qualify yourself. God qualifies man. You see, man-made religion and legalism is built around a set of rules and regulations that's all about qualifying and disqualifying people according to the high standards that are met. In other words, do good and be good. You will be a good person and God will be happy with you. But this is not the way grace and faith operates. You see, Paul is reminding us that because of what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross, we are now qualified through him, through Jesus, not our good work or being a good person. It's through him that we are qualified. It's through Jesus that we are made worthy. It's through him that we are made holy. Now, Paul, when you read through his writings, right throughout the New Testament, he's continuously communicating this same message. As many of the Jewish Christians, those who would have really been the original Christians who first came to know Jesus, they would have lived as Jewish people and knowing the rules and the law and living out according to the Old Testament law. Now, these Jewish Christians, what they would have done is they would have looked down at and spoken down to the Gentile Christians, saying that you're not real Christians. You see, before they came to know Jesus, they were pagans. They were the ones who were new to the faith, like the Ephesians and the Colossians and the Galatians. And so Paul is really using this message, stating that in Jesus, we're no longer under the law, but we are under grace. That we've been made qualified by Jesus, and in Jesus, we are qualified. That there is nothing we did, nothing we can do, or nothing that we will ever do to deserve his grace, to deserve the salvation, the qualification, the acceptance of our Father. Another way of saying it is that we have been justified. That means that we have been made righteous, made holy, made worthy, that we have been justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That through Jesus, by his grace, we are justified, we are qualified, and we are accepted. Here's the second truth that Paul shares with us is this, that we are delivered. That we are delivered. It says in verse 13, it says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness." The Amplified translation says it like this: "The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." He has delivered us. He has saved us. He has transferred us from darkness into light. I love how Paul says it in Ephesians 2 verse 1. He says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." He's saying that you didn't just live in darkness. Your spirit was dead. But verse 4, Ephesians 2, he says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions." He says, "It is by grace that you have been saved." You see, we were once dead in our sin, giving in to the ruler of the dominion of darkness, but we've been qualified through the Son by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, through Jesus, and we've been delivered by the Father. That means that we have now received freedom and liberty from bondage and slavery. That means that we have been rescued and released from sin and from Satan, that we've been delivered from the demonic powers of darkness. That means that we're no longer under the power of Satan. Now we are under the power of God. You know, Satan is real. He loves confusion. He loves for people to celebrate fear and revel in a place of disunity and disparity and disagreements. You know, especially in this time, leading up to Halloween, going through what has been for us as a generation one of the greatest times of uncertainty, breeding such great panic and fear. It is a time in which he loves people to celebrate in fear. And I believe that we must choose to be a delivered people. Let's choose to celebrate freedom and not fear. Let's choose to celebrate peace and not panic. And let's choose to celebrate hope and not horror. And here's the third truth that Paul shares with us, that we must know, believe, and live out in order to live in light, and light in us is to believe that we are forgiven. To know that we've been qualified through what Jesus Christ done for us on the cross. We've been delivered out of darkness into light, and we are forgiven. Our sins have been forgiven. Verse 13 and 14 says, for he's brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Our sins have been forgiven, redeemed. The Passion Translation says it like this, for in the Son, all of our sins are canceled. They are wiped out. Jesus not only canceled our sins, but he set us free. You see, the word redemption, when you look into the original meaning, it means this. It means to set free someone who is in captivity. Now, many Christians live their lives this way. When they place their faith in Jesus and when they enter into the courtroom and they hear the plea, not guilty, your sin has been paid, you are free to go. Often Christians live this way. They turn right back around and walk back into the prison cell, living their lives as if they should still suffer for the sins that they've committed, completely forgetting of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, forgetting that he paid our debt, forgetting that he canceled our sin, forgetting that we no longer need to live as captives in bondage, but now we can live as free people in Jesus, that he forgave us, that he redeemed us, and that he paid the price for our sin. He took my place and he took your place so that we may live and not die. He lavished us with his grace because God loves us. He gave us what we didn't deserve. And he, through his mercy, he didn't give us what we did deserve. God so loved that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, so that we could receive salvation in him. I really want to plead with you today. If you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never made the decision to follow him and to receive new hope and new life, enter into relationship with him, I want to give you that opportunity right now. And for all of us, I encourage you, let's live in light. Let's choose to believe these things about us. Let's choose to believe that I am qualified, I am worthy, I've got a future, I am pure and holy through Jesus Christ. I've been rescued, I've been brought into the kingdom of light. I've been saved, free, and forgiven. And let's choose to believe I'm qualified, delivered, and I'm forgiven. If you've never received the forgiveness of your sins, in fact, maybe you've entered back into sinning willingly, knowingly, and you need to come back with Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you right now to do this with me. Pray a very, very simple prayer. It's a prayer of surrender. And in this moment, what happens when we enter into relationship with Jesus, when we place our faith in him, surrender everything to him, this is what happens. Our sins are canceled. Our debt is paid. One scripture says, it is as if we had never sinned. We've been justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Hey, would you just close your eyes where you are right now, or just take a moment quietly to pray this very simple prayer with me. It says, Jesus, I'm drawing close to you. I acknowledge that you are my Lord and my Savior. I'm a sinner. And I need your forgiveness. I choose today to follow you and to call you my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time today, I'd love to be able to connect with you and love to invite you to join with us in a very simple Zoom call called Next Steps. And if you're interested in joining that, because I'd love to hear your story and help you and pray with you, we'd just love you to go to openarms.ie/connect and you'll see a very simple form in which you can just fill out your details and we'll connect with you this week and send you the details to that Zoom call. But for all of us, as we get ready to enter into worship and enter into our weeks, as we prepare to go back to the reality of our lives that can cause us to feel like we're living in darkness and darkness is living in us, I want to pray for you today. And what is being spoken over your life, these words and these seeds will grow in you and grow to fruition. These seeds of faith, believing, no, I live in the kingdom of light. And the light, Jesus Christ, lives in me. So let me pray for you. God, I pray for each and every one of us right now. I pray that we would know and believe and stand on this truth, knowing that I am qualified, I am delivered, I am forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen.